Hello, Brother Ipe. It's Michael. I'm sitting here doing some Bible study and memorizing of some scriptures, and I thought about you as I was reading 1 Peter 5:10. And 1 Peter 5:10 says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." You know, I think a lot of people read this scripture and they think a little while means a little period of time here on earth. But when I look more and more into the scriptures, what I see is that God considers our present sufferings, as it says in Romans 8, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. Paul and Peter both are basically concluding that the suffering that they call a little while is what we call a lifetime. And that the majority of the people we see in the New Testament, they did not live in periods of deep suffering, and then all of a sudden they turned, their circumstances changed, and they became filled with bliss and happiness. They were either crucified, stoned, rejected, died of old age, as in John's case, so forth and so on. And the Bible calls their life here on earth a little while. And I was thinking about you because one of the things that God has been helping me to see is there is a tremendous, tremendous difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. I believe I've explained this to you before, so I won't go back into that. But when we look at the old covenant, we have a very external circumstance and an external blessing and an external command. So the old covenant is all external. If you externally obey God's commands, he will externally bless you, prosper you, give you health, give you a nice home, give you good animals, make sure your enemies stay away from you. It's external, right? The new covenant, which is a far better covenant, albeit it takes some time to learn that it's better and that it's different than the old covenant, and we can't bring the old covenant into the new covenant. There are certainly principles in the old covenant that apply, but the majority of the promises do not carry over because we have, the Bible says in Hebrews, a better covenant with better promises, and people don't get this. People go and read Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, and to give you a hope and a future and to not harm you. And people say, yes, I want that. This is what I want. And who wouldn't want that? We don't see anybody in the New Testament. I can't think of a single person in the New Testament who would be able to claim Jeremiah 29:11 as a promise that they could then say was fulfilled for them in the way it was fulfilled for the Jews, which is the people it was spoken specifically to back in the old covenant. Could Paul say that after we go down his long list? I think it's in 1 Corinthians 11 or 12 where he's gone through shipwreck and a day and a night at the sea, and he's gone without food, and he's been naked. He's been whipped 3 times 40 lashes -1. He's been in danger from brothers, in danger from bandits, in danger from false brothers. He goes through this whole list of things. And daily I faced my pressure of my concerns for the church. You know, could he claim those promises? No. But yet he was able to praise God in prison in faith that his day was coming in the future. I press on towards the prize of Christ Jesus. He says, I forget what's behind. And he knows at one point, he says, you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, which is far better for me, but I am torn between the two. I do not know what to do, but it's better for me to stay in the body because it will be fruitful labor amongst you. So what I was trying to share with you is I'm seeing more and more, and I'm adjusting my expectations personally, that there's a much better covenant and a much better promise. We get the opportunity to have the living God live in us. We have this full measure of faith and of knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have the ability to have this relationship with Him. The veil has been torn that it was not in the Old Testament. We have the ability to live and rise above sin that we did not have in the Old Testament, to get victory over the flesh. This was not available to but a very handful of people. I can think of Noah, Daniel, and Job are the only three people the Bible makes reference to or that were blameless before God. In the Old Testament, three people out of tens and tens and tens of thousands. I'm sure there were others who were close, but the Bible names three. So in the New Testament, we have this Holy Spirit living inside of us. He enables us to overcome the flesh. He enables us to experience the presence of God, to find contentment, to have a peace in our heart. It doesn't mean that we'll always feel that way every day, but I just wanted to encourage you to readjust the thinking maybe and readjust the timeline and the expectation of our finish line is when our life ends, according to whatever God tells us. And in the New Testament, we see repeatedly there's this testing of faith. This testing of faith that occurs, okay? And so we have to be very, very careful. Example in 1 Peter chapter 1, 6 through 7. We have to be careful about not falling away. Listen to this. In this, you greatly rejoice. It's talking about the coming salvation that is going to be revealed in the last time. And in this, you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, there it is again, a little while, you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now, what this is saying is, the purpose of these long trials in this little while we're here on earth is to separate those who have authentic faith from those who have artificial faith, from those who will stand firm to the end and from those who will ultimately fall away. John 16, 1, Jesus said, I've told you these things so you will not go astray. In Matthew 11, 6, he says, blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. And there are all kinds of warnings about falling away. In fact, Jesus himself taught in Luke chapter 8, verse 11 through 14, explaining the parable of the seed of the sower. He says, the second seed fell on the rocks, where it immediately sprang up with joy. But since it had no root, it did not last, but for a short time. It says, for when the period of testing came, it fell away. So what if God is testing your faith? And you would say, well, Michael, I don't know how much longer it needs to be tested. What if this whole life is a test of our faith? What if the devil has gone to God about you, Ipe, and said, strike his job, strike his finances, strike his dignity, strike his integrity with his family, strike his... just everything, get, you know, his ability to provide and to have any sense of dignity with his family, strike that and he'll curse you. What if the devil has spoken those words about you, Ipe? Just like he did Job. The Bible says he's the accuser and he stands accusing the brethren day and night before the throne of God. So he apparently has some sort of access to accuse. And I'm sure it's not him. I'm sure it's probably evil spirits that are accusing him. Us, right? So what if God is looking for those who, no matter how much things fall apart, their faith will still be proved genuine and there is nothing that can move them away? No amount of difficult circumstances, no amount of loss, not loss of money, not loss of family, not loss of dignity, not loss of health, nothing. There are people that have lost far more than you and I have ever lost that still stand firm. Let me tell you one such story. This is a true story. It just happened in January of this year in Nigeria. A 13-year-old boy, he's on the cover of Voices of Martyrs magazine. You see this picture of this child with this badly scarred face. and with his right eye gone and a huge slice through his face and all the way across his other eyes are just the scars. He and his father and his family were in the village. They hear shots fired. They try to run. It's Muslim extremists. They've surrounded the village. It's too late. They can't get away. They threaten his father first. We're going to kill you if you do not renounce your faith in Christ. You can save your life by renouncing your faith in Christ. He refuses. So they cut the father up and kill him right in front of the 13-year-old boy. Then they turn to the 13-year-old boy and they say to him, 13 years old, mind you, it's not like he's had 25 years to become a seasoned, mature Christian. This doesn't have to be your end. All you have to do is renounce faith in Christ and you will save your life. He says, no, I will not renounce my faith in Christ at all. They hit him in his arm with the machete. It breaks and cuts his arm badly to the point where it breaks the bone. Then they take a swipe across his face. It goes right below his cheekbone, right below the eye socket. He passes out. They carve his right eye out with the machete, with the knife. They carve it out. Then the people in the village, after they're done doing this raid on this village, they saw the boy cut up and bleeding bad, and they knew he was dead. So they started digging his grave. As they're digging his grave, he yells out, crying. He's 13 years old, Ipe. He yells out, crying for help. He comes to, they rush him to the hospital. They call him a miracle. They cannot understand how he's still alive. And it's only in the hospital that he realizes he did not know. He was not conscious when they cut his eyeball out. And he was not conscious, Ipe, when they cut his genitals off. And this 13-year-old boy is standing on the front of the magazine with his mom, who is now a widow, and the son is fatherless. And he has the biggest smile on his face with these scars, with a cast on his left arm that was hit so hard with a machete it broke. And he's holding a colostomy bag with his own urine in his hand, the only other hand that he has. And when you read the article, he has not renounced his faith in Christ. He has not cried out, why, oh, why has this happened to me? He has not begun to doubt God's goodness. On the contrary, his testimony is that God is closer to him now than ever before. And that he forgives his attackers, realizing that they do not have a heart of love, and that they do not know what they were doing. And that just as Jesus forgave those who put him on the cross, for they did not know what they have done, this too, young man, forgave. And he prayed and asked that little children that would hear his story would be encouraged to know that no matter what they go through, Jesus Christ will be with them. And he asked for them to pray for him, for his heart, for his broken heart, for what had happened to him and to his father, but that he would not renounce his faith and that he challenged other people to put their faith in Christ. Now, here's a kid who lost at 13 years old in a matter of minutes. He lost his dad. He lost his arm, basically, for a time. He lost his eye. He lost his handsome looks to the scars across his face. He lost his genitals. He'll never be able to get married. He could get married, but he'll never be able to have children of his own. He'll never be able to enjoy sexual relations with his wife at 13 years old. Do you know how easy it would be? And he's got to carry around a colostomy bag for the rest of his life with a tube stuck in his abdomen so that he can relieve himself. And he has this huge smile on his face, Ipe. And I think to myself, if that kid can go through what he's gone through and he hasn't given up his faith in Christ and instead says that it's even stronger, then my brother, you and I cannot give up just because we're having financial difficulties and just because we've lost our dignity for a time in the eyes of our family or in the eyes of those around us. Even if we lose everything, God promises to provide our basic needs, which is food, clothing, and shelter. These are our basic needs that God promises He will provide. We obviously want things in our life, but we have no idea what tomorrow holds. The disappointments that don't come through for us today, we have no idea what God has in store for the world. We have no idea when Christ is going to allow this world, the tribulation to start, the Antichrist to show up on the scene. We have no idea the kind of wrath that God may begin to pour out upon this earth. We have no idea when the return of Christ may happen at any moment, at any time. And the things that we lamented over and were so upset over may in fact be things that were pitiful small in the eyes of the workings of the kingdom of God, the greater matters and greater works of God. So I just wanted to encourage you to be careful, my brother, to hold on, not to your difficult circumstances, but hold on to your Almighty Father, recognizing that many will fall away in the end times. The Bible says in these times, it will be very difficult to be a Christian. Very difficult to be a Christian. But my brother, there is no loss of dignity. There's no loss of job. There's no amount of time that you can't provide for your kids. There's no amount of times that you have to look at your wife and have her look back at you in shame that would be worth trading all of hell for. None of that. And we cannot fall away. If we fall away, we will not make it. Christ is clear. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. We must not fall away. And the final thing I wanted to share with you, I met with a woman here in the United States 3 days ago, 3 or 4 days ago. She had told me about a man who lived in the city we have here, a very famous city called Nashville, Tennessee. It is a very famous city for the music industry. A lot of very famous country music singing and stuff like that comes out of Nashville, Tennessee. Kenny Rogers, Dolly Parton, you know, those kind of people from back in the day. And I don't know that you've ever heard of any of these people, but they're very famous, world famous people. People move from all over the place to go to this city to try to find their dreams of fame. It's kind of like Hollywood, but for the music industry. And there was a young man, he's my age, who I was introduced to through another friend. He had gone through a very terrible divorce. His wife left him, parental alienation. She kept his son away from him for a long time, said all kinds of mean things about the father, just like my ex-wife did me. And this man had seen my story and he wanted to meet me. So he came to Huntsville one time with her and we met at a Starbucks. And I really liked the guy. He seemed like a very nice guy and he seemed very humble and that he was really trying to wait upon the Lord to find his dreams. And this was about 2 years ago. Well, shortly after he left, the lady who introduced us began to tell me about more and more about his story and about how he had lost this high-paying job in the pharmaceutical world. And he could not find a job. He had a fantastic resume. The lady who is telling me about this man and introduced me to him is a human resources training manager. So she understands all about, you know, finding jobs and resumes and the workplace and all that stuff. She understands all that. So she tried for the longest time to try to help this guy get a job and he just couldn't find a job. He was living off of savings and he then was trying to find a place in the church that he could do some ministry work and play music with his guitar, and nothing opened up for him. No churches opened up for him, and he couldn't find hardly anybody to be friends with. And over a period of a year and a half, there were bouts of suicide. This man was suicidal. He would tell the girl, you know, God is just not for me anymore. he's just not with me, and he's not helping me with anything. And maybe my dad was right. I was never going to amount to anything, and my life isn't worth anything, and I've tried everything, and God is not helping me. And this lady continued to listen to this man over and over and over, and she had two teenage children herself, and sometimes this guy would keep her up late at night talking all this negativity. Just how bad, woe is me, poor is me, all of this. Well, she would slowly share these things with me. And I told her, you need to be careful about this. The Bible says it's very that we need to be careful when we try to restore a brother who's fallen into sin. And self-pity is a sin, lest we be tempted ourselves. So I began to warn her to be very cautious. And I began to pray for this man. And I offered to help him. And he started to get low on his money. And he only had about 3 months left of rent left. And this lady was becoming discouraged because she didn't feel like God was helping him. And she didn't know what to do. And she's like, I don't understand what to do. This guy's got nobody. And he can't find a job no matter where he goes. He can't get a job. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And he's running out of all of his money. And so forth and so on. And he can't even offer his help at a church. So at one point, I offered for this guy to come live with me for free, to move an hour and a half away down here. He didn't have to pay any rent, and I would have helped him with food, and he didn't have to pay electricity. He wouldn't have to pay internet. He could move in with me. He was a single guy. I was a single guy. He could maybe help me in my ministry. I sent him some nice recordings. He never even replied back to me. I tried to help him several times. He never even replied. And one time he told through the girl, no, I believe I'm supposed to stay here. And God has this plan for me. And I believe God will open that door. And he's just testing me. And I just have to keep waiting. Well, that was about, I'd say maybe 8 or 9 months ago that I last had that correspondence. And I finally just walked away because clearly he's not my friend first. He was this lady's friend first. And I didn't have much interaction with him because he wasn't even willing to let me help him. And so I just kept counseling her that you're going to continue to waste time trying to counsel this guy, and he's going to end up going down the toilet. You're going to find he will have wasted hundreds of hours of your time. Oh, I just can't give up on him. I mean, he doesn't have anybody, and I just believe if I just can. I said, all right, well, I guess you'll have to just learn the hard way. Well, she came and had coffee with me to basically tell me that I was right. Last week, 4 days ago. And my brother Ipe, he has fallen away from the faith. He went from being a guy who was really excited about God and filled with faith and going to church and years of wanting to play worship ministry and writing worship songs and all that. And now he has completely fallen away from God and completely written God off. And here I was trying to help him. And all he ever did was grumble against God. And I'm telling you, my friend, I knew based upon his attitude, and I'm not saying that you have this attitude at all. Please understand, I know what it feels like to suffer. I know the pain. I'm just trying to encourage you to get you to look beyond the circumstances and just almost have to say, so what? I can't do anything about this. That does not mean God is not faithful. This is how many atheists are made. Many atheists started out as Christians in Christian homes. I've met several of them. And when they were young, they cried out to God in prayer for God to fix mommy or daddy, either to fix their marriage or to stop the abuse or to stop the alcoholism, whatever. And when God did not answer their prayer, they concluded he did not exist or he was not good. And they became an atheist and said, I don't believe God even exists. And because they're trying to find a new covenant God with an old covenant lens. If I obey, God will bless. That does not exist in the New Testament. In the New Testament, it says over and over and over that we are going to face many troubles, that the righteous have to enter the kingdom of God through many difficulties, and that we have to participate in the sufferings of Christ, that we will face many trials, but that what we need to do is to not throw away our confidence. Hebrews 10, 35-36. So do not throw away your confidence it will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done God's will, you will receive what has been promised. And many, many, many scriptures. In fact, almost every scripture Jesus taught about rewards or blessings, he's talking about those that will come when he comes or when we arrive in heaven. So the New Testament is really about having blessings in heaven, Ipe, and enduring difficulties here. That's the reality. Now, that's not what Western Christianity teaches, which is a bowl of lies. Western Christianity teaches, come to God, claim his promises, and he will bless your socks off, and you will be tickled pink, and every day will be Friday, and you can have your best life now. Now, is it any wonder why you and I get so discouraged when we can't even get the smallest little thing to work in our life? Because for our whole life, we've heard, if you believe in God, and if you trust God, and if you obey God, and you don't sin, God will bless, and you'll be prosperous. But that's not what it says in the New Testament. The New Testament doesn't say everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer prosperity or will suffer, you know, plenty. It says they will suffer persecution. And because of that persecution, that's why the road is so narrow that leads to life and the gate so small. Because so many people fall away. So I just want to encourage you, man, I want to encourage you, don't be like this guy in Nashville who fell away. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, my mom just called and interrupted my recording, but I just really wanted to encourage you to not fall away, my brother, to be willing to consider this. What if God asks you, listen to me, brother. What if God wants you to suffer from now until the day you die? And what it means to suffer is not that you're going to be beyond what you can stand every day. Okay? Now, you may feel that you are. All right? That's because you're bringing a certain set of expectations. You expect this and you're getting this. And so when you adjust your expectations and you instead say, okay, Lord, I'm not getting what I expect. Lord, I'm going to now change my expectations. And Father, I'm going to give thanks in all things because this is your will for me in Christ Jesus, is to give thanks in all things. And Lord, I'm going to change my expectations. I'm going to say to you again, I'm willing to, Lord, if you want me to lose all of my earthly things, I'm willing to lose them. I mean, I think about that young boy. He lost far more than you and I have lost. And we don't know what God holds tomorrow. There could be a financial blessing tomorrow. There ain't going to be a financial blessing that can replace what that kid lost. No amount of money in the world can give him his eyeball back. No amount of money in the world can give him back his genitals. No amount of money can take those scars off of his face. You and I don't have any problems right now that I'm aware of that a little bit of money couldn't help us with, right? That's something that we can thank God for. And if God gave that young man enough grace to endure what he's going through, then I know God can give you and I enough grace to endure what we're going through. Okay? And brother, even if you and I had to suffer, now I've had that fearful reality. Lord, what if I never am married again? Lord, what if I don't get to see my kids again? Lord, what if I never have enough finances to do anything but just barely keep my head above water? Am I going to be okay with that? I have to be okay with that. There are brothers and sisters all over the world, you being one of them, who's going through the same kind of suffering. As Paul says, that even now you hear that I have been through, and even now hear that I still have these problems, the suffering. So what if we've had these wrong expectations? And what if Jesus is looking at you and saying, Ipe, don't give up anything hope wise in me. Don't give up your hope in me. Give up your expectations and give up yourself, because Ipe, my son, my brother, God says to you, what I have for you on the other side of this life is something you will not want to miss. You, after you have suffered and held on to your faith, it says that your genuine faith, Ipe, will result in glory, praise, and honor, not for Jesus Christ. Yes, we're going to honor him, but he's going to come back and honor you. That's what that teaching is in 1 Peter chapter 1, 6 through 7. So that your faith may be proven genuine and may result in glory, rather praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. You are going to be at that moment, no matter what lack of dignity you and I have had, no matter how many times our wives, our family members, our children rolled their eyes at us, no matter how many times we felt ashamed, we felt loser, we felt worthless, we felt unloved, we felt overlooked, we felt downtrodden, we felt despised. No matter how many times, Jesus Christ wiping every tear from our eyes is going to praise you. Well done, my good and faithful servant. He is going to glorify you in your new glorified body, and he is going to honor you. He's going to honor you. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. I honor the one who honors me. If you honor him with your faith, but what does Jesus say? He says, when I come back to have from to earth, will the Son of Man find faith on earth? The parable of the unjust judge. And the widow who keeps going saying, give me justice, give me justice. That's a parable of an earthly illustration with a heavenly truth. The judge, he says, consider the unjust judge, and will not your Father in heaven bring about justice for those who cry out to him day and night? Yes, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and see that they get it quickly. And we think next month, next week, next year. And no, he's talking about when he comes back. How do we know that? Because the last verse of that passage says, but when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on earth? So you and I have to be willing to endure faith on earth to receive rewards in heaven. We have to stay strong, Ipe. We cannot give up. You do one foot in front of the other every day. And you just say to the Father, Lord, you know, here's what I did today, as an illustration. I have terrible sinus problems, and I have terrible problems in my shoulders. I live in chronic pain every day in my shoulders. I have to use this cane and try to dig at these knots in my back. They won't go away. They tense up, they cramp up. I have terrible sinuses. My right nostril closes up on me. It makes me feel dizzy. It makes me feel like I have no energy. I've had thoughts of, Lord, it would be great for me to just die. I literally have had thoughts. It would be better for me to just die, because it sometimes takes my quality of life away. And so today I thanked God for it. The Bible says, thank God in all things. I said, Lord, I thank you for these sinuses. You knew that I needed to have these sinuses for whatever reason, to keep me humble, to keep me weak. Lord, you knew that I would have these pains in my back and my neck. And Lord, I honor you in this suffering. And Lord, these pains in my back are a result of the work that I've done for you. These are pains and scars that I bear in my body, suffering in my body for work I've done for you, from all this computer work, videos and writing. And so I just began to thank God instead of grumbling. And I said, Father, forgive me. Forgive me for the times I've grumbled, Lord, like the Israelites did. Can God bring meat here in the desert? Can God give us water? I said, Lord, forgive me, Father. I've grumbled. Forgive me, Lord. And I just began to thank God for it. Brother, I beg you to find something today to thank God for him. Give God the sacrifice of praise today from your lips, the fruit of lips who praise God. And don't give up. You don't have to have the same circumstances that the rest of the world does. I'm telling you, my friend, when you close your eyes in this world, if you stay strong all the way to the end, when you close your eyes in this world for the last time and Jesus Christ honors you, your wife and your children and your family members and your neighbors and your friends all will see that God has honored you. You were humbled in this life. You will be exalted in the next life. And guess what? The opinion that people will have of you in heaven is the opinion that lasts forever, not this short time. This short time that we have here. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. We have to consider the cross. We have to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I don't have the strength to get through today, but I know you do. And I ask you in faith to enable me. Brother, I have to do the same thing. And I have proven that God is faithful. When I look at the direction I went versus the direction this other young man, Stephen, went, who quit, what a disaster. What is the difference? The difference is he continued to grumble and never stopped grumbling. And I continued to praise and never stopped praising. And I held on to that tow rope of God. No matter how much water was going over my head, being dragged behind a boat, I was not going to let go of that rope, no matter what. No matter what, no devil, no difficult circumstances, no angels, no powers, no principalities, no lack of money, no lack of dignity, no lack of children, no slander, no false accusations, nothing. Nothing. I was going to let anything take me away from Jesus Christ. And I didn't stand on my own strength. But I brought that desire. Oh, Lord, let me be found in you. Oh, Lord, keep me until the end. Ipe, do the same thing, brother. Do the same thing. You do not quit and relax a little. Just be willing to accept it, like as if you were in a prison camp, okay? Or be willing to accept if a man just broke into your village and cut out your right eye, cut off your genital, scarred your face. Don't live the rest of your life saying, I can't believe this happened to me. Woe is me. God's never going to deliver me. Why did he ruin my life? We can't do that. You and I cannot have that attitude that grumbles against the Lord. We have to accept whatever has come to us, knowing God works all things together for the good to those who love him, to those who are the called according to his purpose, that God works out all things according to his means, Proverbs 16:4, even the wicked for a day of disaster, that he works out all things in conformity to his will, Ephesians 1:11. We have to trust that whatever happens to us here is God's very best plan for us. Now, we don't know. Maybe the scars that we receive today here in our body and in our dignity represent trophies of honor and crowns of glory forever and ever in heaven. And maybe it's possible that when we get to heaven and we see how many crowns that boy got or how many rewards this man got because he suffered, we may say, man, Lord, I wish I would have had more suffering. I wish you would have seen fit to give me more suffering, Lord. Perhaps maybe I would have realized these sufferings would equal to crowns in eternity. And I wouldn't have grumbled so much against the one crown of thorns. I would have asked you for 10 crown of thorns so that I could carry a symbol of glory of Jesus Christ and your faithfulness. And when all of heaven looks upon me, they see that the glory you've bestowed upon me is simply a reflection of you, my God and King, who sustained me through all of this suffering. What if that's how it is? Is it not true that that's likely how it is, since the Bible says that those who've lost their life and had their heads cut off for Jesus Christ have a greater place of honor than those that didn't? In the book of Revelation, it says that those who've lost their life, they will be rulers with God, rulers with Jesus Christ. They'll have a proximity to God that maybe others will not because of the suffering they went through. So, brother, you're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that's praying for you to endure one day at a time. Be in that word. Never stop. Don't say, I've been claiming God's promises. Brother, if you have to do it another 50 years, don't say, oh, I could never do that. One day at a time. You can give us this day our daily bread. You don't have to worry about the next 5 minutes apart from God, much less 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 months, 5 years. You eat God's plan for your life one day at a time. That's how I've been doing it all these years, one day at a time. And you know what? God has given me so much of life to the full, that it's not just me barely hanging on to the cliff by my fingernails going, oh God, if I can just make it through today, maybe I can be okay and I won't fall. No, he's given me so much that I'm able to help all these other people. It is not me. This is the Lord Jesus Christ proving his word true in my life. I've cleared my path of sin, all conscious known sin I've out. I fight to obey whatever the Lord tells me to do to the very best of my ability. I remain in faith. I discipline myself to read the word extensively every morning when I'm brushing my teeth, when I'm getting food for myself, when I'm driving in the car, I'm renewing my mind in God's word. When I feel discouraged, I go back to these two or three or four messages that are my favorites and I renew my mind. I have some of my favorite books of men of faith who persevered through unthinkable things and I renew my mind in them. And then God lifts me. And then I go back and I do more work. And if I'm down again, I go back and I get in the word of God and I renew my mind and I say, Father, I need you to refresh my spirit. I don't need you to change my circumstances. God, just please refresh my spirit. That's what I do. I just live this simple little dependent life. Jesus, I need you today. God, I need you today. And yes, I have days that are wearisome, my brother. Yes, I've been waiting for my future wife for 3 years this month. Ike, for 3 years, I've been waiting for a woman that God brought across my path and said, I have given you the desires of your heart. I have not withheld the request of your lips. He proved to me and showed me over and over she was the one, but then said, do not call her. Do not email her. Do not manipulate the circumstances. The same thing with my children. Ike, I have not seen my children in 2 years at the end of this month. In about 10 more days, it's been 2 years since I have even seen what my children look like, Ipe. Because what nobody knows, I think I've told you this before, is that my ex-wife continued to do evil to me even after the court sided with me. It's like when the Egyptians came across the Red Sea, or rather when they were released from captivity miraculously from the Egyptians, then here comes the Egyptians again, hot on their tail. Another, what? I thought God delivered us. And then there was more people to battle on the entrance to the promised land. So I'm still enduring. I'm still being afflicted and I'm still trusting God and waiting for him to do these things. And sometimes I say, God, how much longer, Lord? But the Lord has strengthened me and helped me to mature in my faith and helped me to have patience, perseverance, right? Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, for God has poured out his love into our hearts by his Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5, verse 3, I believe. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Brother, receive it in faith. I love you and I bless you and I will pray for you right now as soon as I get off this phone. Be strong in the Lord.